friends, crystal keepers, gem lovers, and rock hounds. Welcome to There's a Rock for That. This is the show that is all about crystals, gems, and rocks of all varieties, where we will explore the folklore, metaphysical properties, and healing applications of the stone people. I'm Pterodactyl, and I welcome all of you, whether you're here to connect with the Crystal Kingdom, or discover what your rocks are about, or even sail the mystic seas to the land of dragons, where fairies greet us and unicorns gallop through magical forests to sacred stone temples. I'm so happy that you are here to share the experience. All right, well, today is going to be a pretty fun show. We're going to continue our summer gridding season with learning how to design our own grid in order to attract abundance. And later in the show, I'm going to be talking about this week's featured crystal guest, chrysoprase, which is a very interesting stone. If you are listening online and you're seeing the slideshow on the page, you'll see a raw piece that actually came from Poland. That's actually off of Wikipedia. And then a little polished tumbled piece that I have of chrysoprase. And it's just such a lovely stone with the just beautiful colors in it and a lot of variety. And we will get to that later. Now, if you saw the blog post on theresarockforthat.com for today's grid for today's episode, you can see a picture of a really easy to do grid to attract abundance. And, you know, I think I said last month when we kicked off summer gridding season that, you know, I wanted to share crystal grids or layouts, as some people call them, that you can make that aren't going to be very difficult to put together, and they're not going to cost you an arm and a leg. You don't need any real specialized stones unless you want to use them. And, you know, a lot of us are familiar with the idea of the law of attraction. And if you are a law of attraction practitioner, crystal grids are a wonderful addition to the affirmations that you're already doing. And you can also use affirmations with grids that you create as well, you know, and the whole purpose is, you know, we're working with intention. So I wanted to focus on some easy ways to, you know, kind of work on attracting one of the things that a lot of people are focused on attracting, and that is abundance. And whether abundance means wealth to you, it could mean money, it could mean anything you don't have enough of or that you feel you don't have enough of or would like more of in your life. You know, there's a wonderful quote from Dr. Wayne Dyer that I love about abundance. And he says, abundance is not something we acquire. It is something we tune into. And so that kind of quote really stood out to me because it's kind of perfect with the idea of working with crystals. Because a lot of times, especially things like clear quartz, which I use a lot of clear quartz in my grids, you know, you're talking about amplifying something. And to me, it's about amplifying intention when you make a grid. And the grid that I made that you can see in the slideshow or later in archive, or I see a few people listening on their phones, so I'll just describe it. But basically I worked with the idea of the number 8. 8 is a great number to work with if you're want to attract abundance. And I even have friends that like to keep a copy of the Eight of Pentacles card in their wallet for that reason. They want to attract more money into their wallets. And that's also something else you can try. It's also a great reminder. But if you're not into tarot and you don't want to make a copy of an Eight of Pentacles card, you could just get it off the internet and just print it off. You know, you see a lot of images of different cards on the net. For the grid that I used the Infinity Tarot. They have a wonderful Eight of Pentacles card that I really kind of like. I love the shape of it. It's the cards are actually shaped in the infinity kind of symbol, and they which is like an eight on its side basically. And they have, like, the pentacles, which look like coins all over them. And there's a woman sitting in the middle of the card that has a is holding a pentacle in her lap. And then you have the rest of the pentacles around her. And what I basically did was I took that Eight of Pentacles card and I laid it down on a green cloth with the idea that green is also a great color to work with. So you can work with not only crystals, but you can work with symbols. You can work with, hold on one second. I've got a, okay, he quieted down. I have a puppy playing out of control there with his stuffed toy. I don't know if you can hear him in the background. But anyways, green and the number eight and anything that symbolizes abundance to you or symbolizes money to you or wealth to you or anything that you want to attract would be great to incorporate into your grid. You don't have to work with stones alone. A lot of people like to use like a template for their grids. You can design one. There's a lot of them that are available online too that you can actually print off, and they'll use different shapes that they resonate with. Like a lot of people like to work with the flower of life symbol and that geometric design of it, and that help they'll lay that out and place crystals on the different lines or on the different points that have meaning to them. You know, it doesn't really matter. There's not one right way to do any of this. And it's really important when you're designing a grid that it has meaning for you. So you see, you know, a grid online or even the one that I posted and it's like, I don't really care for that too much. Then that's okay, you know. Come up with something that has meaning for you. Use shapes and symbols and colors that have meaning for you. For this one, I used a green cloth to symbolize money, okay, or wealth, and also health. Green is a great color for symbolizing health. And also it's connected to the heart chakra. So there's already a whole world of influence with just, you know, what you're going to lay your crystals on. And I decided to put that Eight of Pentacles card in the center of the cloth because that, to me, does symbolize wealth. And again, like I said, eight is a great number when we're talking about abundance. And on top of the card, I placed a green aventurine stone. Now, you know, you want your setter stone generally to be, you know, larger than the others. A lot of people like to place like a larger, like maybe a quartz tower in the center of their grid or a selenite tower. It just depends on what you're doing the grid for. But with this, with attracting abundance, I used green aventurine and placed it on top of the Eight of Pentacles card. And then I took eight quartz crystals and placed them around the card. So I kind of have two in the center and two coming out of the top at angles and two coming out of the bottom at angles. And then I have a larger piece at the top and a larger piece at the bottom. And I prefer to use my larger stones at the top and bottom of things. Even if I do like a grid that, say, is in like a circle shape or something, I'm still going to place larger crystals. Quartz crystals to amplify the energy outside of them. Now, in this particular grid, I had a nice larger piece. It's a quartz point that actually has a clinochlor, or you know, which is you know what, seraphinite is a type of clinochlor. Okay, and it's green. You know, has different colors in it. And the quartz piece that I used has clinochlor inclusions in it. So to me, that just sort of gave an extra amplification to the grid. And the bottom quartz is a clear quartz, but it's a generator quartz. If you know what that is, it's kind of, you know, chunkier, and you know, it helps generate more energy. And so it's kind of like when we, with almost anything we do, you know, with the idea of like, you know, grounding the idea in so that it can manifest. That's how I look at using the bigger pieces at the top and the bottom. I feel like that's adding more energy to it. I feel like it's helping to really, you know, give things kind of an extra boost. And I like using quartz that has inclusions in it for different purposes as well, because I think that just adds a little more extra to it as well. The thing that is kind of interesting when it comes to the idea of abundance is that we all have a different kind of idea of it. And a lot of times when I speak to people that, you know, say that they're working on manifesting abundance, which is something I hear a lot, you know, I notice that, you know, there oftentimes, unfortunately, is the sense of like, I need this, I don't have it, you know, the sort of, it's almost like a desperation kind of thing, in a way, you know, and it's understandable, you know, I mean, you know, like they say, money makes the world go round, you know, we are in a currency, you know, dependent society, and so while we don't want everything to be about money, you know, sometimes it is, and that's okay, and there's nothing to be ashamed of, but when we're trying to attract something, we have to kind of let our fear, you know, take a vacation. We got to send our fears away from it, because we want to attract it, and it's just like if you're trying to get like an animal, you know, to come to you, like a bunny rabbit or a dog or a cat or something. If you act really frantic and desperate, that animal like doesn't want anything to do with you generally. You know, you could be like, come here, you know. But if you act like happier and more relaxed and it's like, come here, puppy, you know, they're more likely to come to you. They want to come to you, okay? So I think that's kind of a simple analogy of how it works with things like abundance that we want to attract into our life. If we're like, I need money, come to me, you know, I need it right now, chances are it's going to stay away. And that, you know, look, you know, can I prove this? No. Have I seen it a lot? Yes. You know, and I'm sure you have too, you know. I'm sure you have friends that, you know, are really, you know, always talking about how badly they need something, you know, to the point that they're frantic and have a lot of anxiety around it. And it seems like they can't get two dimes to rub together. And sometimes that's why is, you know, in the law of attraction, they call it the lack mentality, scarcity mentality. And I've seen a lot of browbeating, you know, too, that happens, where it's like, well, you're functioning from, you know, fear, you're functioning from a lack, you're functioning from scarcity, and that's not going to work. Well, generally, when somebody is at that point where they're so freaked out that they are acting kind of, you know, obviously desperate or anxious about something, browbeating them generally does not help the situation. So that's just something to think about. You know, if you have friends that, you know, are in a position like I'm talking about, or that you know, you've seen them like, you know, talk about how desperately they need something, I think the best thing that you can do is, you know, that old saying, be positive, you know, and give them that support and let them know that, like, it's going to happen for you. You know, it's going to happen for you. You have to let it come to you. You have to do what you want to do to, you know, help it manifest in your life. You have to, you know, make an effort for sure and take action, but you can't be desperate about it, you know. And, you know, that's the thing. You know, this a crystal grid to attract abundance is one of the things that you can do that doesn't involve any desperation. You can make your grid, and you can get, it'll give you something to focus on. Visit your grid after you make it. You know, go, you know, spend some time there. If you put it on your altar, you put it in a special place in your house or something, spend some time sitting there and meditating, and not meditating on how badly you need it or how badly you want it, but meditate on the idea of having it. You know, take some imagination time and visualize yourself, you know, actually having the thing that you're trying to attract. Visualize what your life would be like. You know, give yourself a chance to, like, live in that moment. Because oftentimes, you know, when we get what we think we want, we don't know what to do with it. We're like, oh, okay, I don't have to worry about money now. I don't know. Now what? You know? Because in the way, the reason that happens sometimes is because we don't realize how much effort and how much time is consumed worrying about it. You know, so then when it finally does happen in our lives, then we're kind of like, oh, I didn't plan for this to actually take place. I was all invested in being the person that doesn't have this thing. And, you know, part of this is, you know, we can at times allow it to become part of how we identify ourselves. Sometimes, you know, you meet somebody and they'll talk about how they grew up. Well, we grew up poor. We never had anything. I had to work hard for everything. And you listen to somebody talk, and the more time you spend with them, a lot of people, that is become a big part of their personality. And so it makes you wonder, like, what, you know, what happens when that changes? What if that person suddenly wins the lottery? Then that whole part of their identity that they created around being poor, not having what they need, it kind of has to float away, and they can feel kind of lost. And that's why you read so often about, you know, somebody who really was down and out hit the lottery, and they blew it in like a year or two, you know, because they weren't ready for it. They didn't envision themselves. They didn't see themselves as that person. And it changed their idea of who they thought they were. Couldn't handle it. So, you know, look, those are just some things to think about. And that's what makes using crystal grids for this kind of thing, you know, such a positive and I think really healthy kind of thing to do. Because you're working with intention. So you can kind of give a break to all of those concerns. You, when you're sitting with your grid and you're meditating and you're visualizing the thing that you want, the abundance that you want coming into your life, that's also a great time to do just like a little mini mental planning session. What would I do with it when it comes into my life? Or better yet, what will I do with it when it comes into my life? Because we change that text. Right? We change it as if it is going to happen. Because if we believe, even if it's just 10 minutes a day, you know, 10 minutes a day, regardless of how much you think this could never happen or won't ever happen, how many never, never, nevers you have in your mind about it, if you can, like, just release all of those for 10 minutes a day, and change those to it is, it will, it's going to happen, yes, 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 then, you know, that's just a really great thing to do for yourself right there. Because when we are stressed, and money especially is such a thing that, you know, it involves everything. It involves, you know, keeping a roof over our head and food on the table and clothes on our back and being able to take care of our children and our education and their education. It is involved in absolutely everything. And as much as, you know, in the spiritual metaphysical community, we tend to try to deny that, you know, it's as real as anything else and more real than a lot of things that you probably already believe in, you know. And, you know, money's not a bad thing. It is just a thing. And that's the one, you know, aspect of things that maybe is sometimes hard to accept for people, you know. And a lot of people, I know so many people that have some some guilt around money. They are guilty when they don't have enough. They're guilty when they think they have too much. They're guilty when they get paid for something. They're guilty when something's given to them. And it all has to do with their emotions and feelings connected to money. And also, that, you know, I just want you to think about that and kind of, you know, give yourself kind of a checkup on that, on where your feelings are about money. Do you have anything around it that is kind of holding you back? And, you know, oddly enough, you know, this becomes something for some people that can be connected to past lives even. You know, you hear that talked about a lot, this idea that, you know, if somebody may have taken a vow of poverty in a past life that they haven't released, you know. And, you know, that's the thing that's interesting. You know, I think it's important. You know, I think the grid that, you know, you can see there on the slideshow and that I described and, you know, that I blogged about, anybody can make and you can adapt it to however you want to make it. But I think the thing that's kind of interesting about it is there's something about the incredibly wonderful acceptance of crystals, acceptance of stones. And I don't mean other people accepting them, because God knows the world's full of skeptics, but I mean the way in which they accept you when you spend time in their presence. And there is an opportunity here before you design your own grid for attracting abundance to do this kind of mental checklist and just examine for just a few minutes. This doesn't have to take forever. It can take 5-10 minutes, however long you need, really. Examine your feelings about abundance. Examine your feelings about money. And try to trace it back to where it comes from. How do you really feel? Have you created any mental or emotional block around this, or do you feel like there is one and maybe you don't know what the origin of it is? And if that is so, then I would say incorporate crystals that will help with removing blocks to this. Okay, and that is kind of an interesting thing. There are a lot of different crystals out there that can help remove blocks and emotions and blocks and, you know, ideas and mindsets when it comes to money, when it comes to other things. There are crystals that can help with clearing blocks from past lives as well. And you can incorporate those into your grid too. So what I gave you is a very simple grid for attracting abundance, but, you know, fine-tune it to yourself. You know, pay attention to what your gut tells you. And what crystals may be that you may be drawn to in addition to the ones that I've mentioned. You know, like I said, I love green aventurine. I think that's a great one to have in the center. I love the tarot cards, so I loved putting the Eight of Pentacles there. But there might be things that are more personal to you or stones that you just feel more strongly about. And clear quartz, I do recommend that regardless, you always try to incorporate some of that just for its amplifying properties, if nothing else. So it can, you know, just add more energy to your grid for attracting abundance. And, you know, the things that I said about, you know, the colors of the cloth, you know, you can play around with that as well. And, you know, really, you know, that basic design or shape and working with the numbers and working with the colors, you can actually use these ideas to create almost any kind of grid you want for whatever purpose. You know, it's not rocket science. I don't know that it's even really science at all. But that's okay. It doesn't matter. You know, the whole point of this is to be meaningful to you and also to be something that, you know, you really can focus your intention on and spend a lot of time with it. You know, because if you don't, you know, if it doesn't really mean anything to you, then, you know, how is the time spent in front of it going to be very meaningful? And sometimes we can, you know, kind of create these things because we read about them online or hear about it on a radio show, and then we kind of just let it sit there and it goes by the wayside. So, I, you know, this would be a great, you know, opportunity for an everyday practice if you don't have like an everyday meditative practice. And that's something you've been thinking about, you know. If you create this grid, you get to spend time doing that, and that's meditative in and of itself. You know, it's really kind of a mindfulness exercise when you think about it. And the other thing about it, too, is that once you've created it, you now have a place to go to every day. You have a place to go for 5 minutes. For 10 minutes, for 15 minutes, whatever it is. And you don't have to limit yourself to just the color of the cloth or, you know, the stones themselves or a special symbol. You can add things to it all the time. You can increase in it. You know, so say you make your crystal grid for abundance, you know, and it's, you know, just the way you want it, and it has things that are meaningful to you, and you like spending time with it, and something great happens. You know, it might be something very small. It could be something as small as finding a quarter on the sidewalk when you're walking down the street. So then you come home and you could add that quarter, you know. You could add the little things that symbolize that this is growing. I mean, I like to think of a grid a little bit like a garden, you know. So things grow, and you spend time with it, and you add things to it. You weed out the things that you don't want anymore. You know, if you think about it with that idea of it being like a garden. Wait, I'm just typing in right here. Hello to everybody in the chat room. Yeah, and I guess I should just mention again the grid, the little grid, it's very simple that I put up is at there'sarockforthat.com. I think I wrote that right. There's a rock for hat. No, there's the T, okay. I guess the display's kind of funny there. But hello, everybody in the chat room. Thanks for tuning in today, and everybody listening online, and anyone who listens later in archive. Oh, man. So, you know, that's the thing. You know, I like the idea of adding to it because, you know, as we start to do this, there's another thing that happens, that, you know, and it comes with this idea of it not only being an exercise in meditation or in mindfulness or in the law of attraction, but opportunity to become more aware of the things that life is giving us. You know, a lot of times we have our eye on the prize, or we have a certain mindset. You know, it might be a goal in mind, like I need $800 by Thursday, you know, and we're waiting and, you know, we're kind of watching the time tick by, and there's a lot of things we're not noticing. So maybe we need to be able to get $800 by Thursday, and for some reason, you know, we ended up getting like $5 that just came out of nowhere, or, you know, just happened that somebody forgot they owed us and they handed it to us. And sometimes we can look at that $5 and say like, well, okay, this is great, you know, I still need $800 by Thursday. And we overlook it and we don't, you know, appreciate that. And I think that, you know, that can be kind of part of the problem, is that, you know, not only do we need to, you know, have a positive mindset and, you know, work with intention, but we also need to appreciate the things that are coming into our life. Because a lot of times, you know, they may be small little things, but we have to allow them to matter. You know, because my feeling is, you know, and again, you know, I can't prove it, but, you know, my feeling is that the universe is aware and has consciousness, and we're part of that consciousness. And so it does matter when we appreciate things and when we don't. Now, this is great. Jean Mori has a question in the chat room. She says, I found a beat-up penny in the parking lot today. Just because it wasn't shiny and new, I still felt it was a symbol of prosperity. What do you think? Yes, I think it was. And that is exactly what I'm talking about. You know, you could have easily overlooked it, you know, or said, oh, it's just a penny. Meh, you know, what does this matter? But as we all know, those pennies add up. You know, the funny thing is, I remember a couple of years ago, just because he's always, you know, taking my change, I got my husband one of those little jars. It actually has a little digital display on it, and it's for, you know, change. It's a change jar. It's this plastic thing. And you put the money in, and it tells you how much money you end up having. And he loved it. He collects all the change, all my change included, and he puts the money on it, in it, you know, and kind of saves up all of his change. And, you know, and that's pennies, nickels, dimes, dollars, whatever. Look, you know, a couple weeks ago, we decided to go up to a cabin in the mountains in Colorado for the weekend, and we paid for our gas just using his change jar. That, you know, that was like about $115 or something. We even had money left over for dinner. You know, yep. And there, Ivy said, see a penny, pick it up. That's right. And Jean says, does it make you think that it was telling me prosperity is here for me? You know, absolutely. Do you feel like it makes you feel that way? You know, it's like, you know the answer to the question you're asking, Jean, you know, because that's the other thing is we second guess. We second guess the signs that we are getting from the universe, you know, and that's, I think, because sometimes we just, you know, there's that little voice inside our head, not the good one, but the other one that, you know, is the voice of doubt. And we think sometimes we're being rational when we're being doubting. And I don't know that that's actually true. And I like that too. You know, Jean says, you know, I feel when I find a penny or any other denomination that it's a sign not to worry. And there you go. Absolutely. It can, you know, that's the thing about these signs and symbols, you know, like I was saying, you know, if the Eight of Pentacles card and, you know, isn't going to be very meaningful to you in the center of your abundance grid, you know, then, you know, use a symbol that might be. It could be a dollar sign. It could be, you know, a little piece of gold jewelry or something. You know, it could be whatever is meaningful for you, because what's a sign to you may not be a sign to me, but that doesn't mean that it's not a sign, you know. That's something to think about. So anyways, you know, like I said, you can go to theresarockforthat.com to see a bigger picture of the grid. You know, I do like the idea of working with clear quartz to amplify. And also, you know, green stones are great for attracting abundance. Citrine, you know, traditionally known as the merchant stone, because a lot of people, you know, there's that old wives' tale about keeping it in the money drawer, keeping it in your purse or your wallet because it attracts money. Citrine would be another wonderful stone to work with as well. You could have that in the center of your grid, or, you know, citrine points that you can get that are pretty inexpensive. You can add stones in between those crystal points, and that's going to amplify the energy of the stones plus the intention, you know, just the whole thing. So that's something else to think about. And, try adding the larger pieces, you know, to the top and the bottom of it to give it an extra little boost. You know, I did this very simply with 8 quartz crystals, again, working with the number 8. So you can work with those numbers that have meaning to you. If you have a number that is particularly lucky to you, you can do that, you know, and put it in whatever shape that, again, has meaning to you. You can draw something out, you know, if you want to be a little more technical about it and have everything absolutely perfectly aligned, you can use a ruler, or you can just eyeball it, you know, which is what I did with the picture that I was making. I just kind of eyeballed it. And you can see, you know, it's not exactly, you know, perfect distance-wise. I didn't have my ruler handy. I've got a tape measure somewhere, but my husband's always stealing it. So anyways, you know, but you can add extra stones to it and add little trinkets and baubles and symbols, things that you like that are going to, you know, the idea is, you know, add things that are going to keep you coming back too. Right? Because, you know, like I said, you don't want, you know, something like this to fall by the wayside. And it's great to have an excuse to spend 10 minutes out of your day focusing on something like really, really positive and that is intended to assist you, you know. So don't think of it as a chore, you know, and do whatever you can to not think of it as a chore. And, you know, if you have some pieces of quartz like that clinochlor included quartz that I put at the top of my grid, that's great to work with too. Anything that's going to give things an extra kind of boost and that you identify with and that have meaning for you. Oh, thank you. Oh, see, I love that. Jean Maury looked at it and she said, it's very pretty. It's like a treasure map. Thank you. I love that. And see, that isn't that a great idea, actually, Jean, right there? You know, you could actually make a little treasure map on a piece of paper with crystals. You could do that kind of design as well, you know. That's is kind of a fun, interesting idea. You know, anything that, you know, is going to make you, I guess, you know, for lack of a better way to say it, just more into it. Anything that's going to ignite your excitement and your imagination. Because this should be fun and this should be something that, you know, gives you a chance to get excited about bringing something that you really want into your life. You know, and something that you can spend a few moments just like really enjoying, you know, because that's there's a joy that comes from that. And like if you listen last week when I had Judy Hall on the show, she was talking about how, you know, just spending a lot of time with crystals, you can't help but get that sort of feeling of joy. And we were talking about, you know, just how that seems to be something that is missing so much from, you know, modern society, everyday life. You know, how much time do you spend just feeling joyful? So we are going to take a that's the thing on our crystal grid for now. And we're going to take a quick break to hear some messages from our network. And then when we come back, we're going to talk about this week's crystal guest, Crystal Praise. We'll be right back in a flash. Stay tuned.
Schedule your reading with one of the psychics at Attune. PsychicsAttune.com. Have you always wanted to create your own tarot or oracle deck but thought you needed to be a graphic artist? Self-published decks are really hot right now, and I could show you how to do this. No Photoshop required. Contact me, Mary Nail, at marynail@attunemagazine.com.
www.theresarockforthat.com. Visit the website where there's a stone for that, an idea for that, a story about that, and even a reading with solutions for that because, well, we just happen to rock like that. Need to relax? Or raise your vibration? Want to know how gems, crystals, and rocks can enhance your life? Get a crystal consultation. For entertainment purposes only, crystal consultations do not in any way replace treatment by licensed healthcare professionals. Come explore the wonders of the Crystal Kingdom at www.theresarockforthat.com.
Welcome to the Tune Magazine Radio.
Well, welcome back. You are listening to There's a Rock for That on the Attune Magazine Radio Network. And I wanted to mention before we start talking about our crystal guest today that the July edition of Attune Magazine is out now. It has a lot of really cool articles and columns in it. And you can find that by going to attunemagazine.com. Make sure you sign up for their email list because you can get Attune Magazine right in your inbox, and it makes it a lot easier to find the issues. And it's really it's a great issue that came out. And there's a great interview in there by Melinda Carver, who I know Mary Nail has had on her sessions show on Attune Magazine Radio. I don't know how many times, a few times. We love Melinda Carver, and she has a radio show called Positive Perspectives, and I'm going to be guesting on there on Sunday night this weekend. That's July 12th at 8 p.m. I'll be putting up a blog post about that tomorrow on theresarockforthat.com and on Twitter, and you can find her on Twitter and on Facebook, and I think we're going to have fun. Now, this is going to be a live call-in show at 8 p.m. on Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, and that's Positive Perspectives here on Blog Talk Radio. We're going to talk about tarot. We're going to talk about angels and crystals and who knows what all we're going to talk about. When we start talking, we really talk. But it'll be fun to take calls, too. So I hope you all will tune in for that. So our crystal guest today is Crystal Praise. And if you're listening online, you can see a couple of pictures of it. There's a rough piece that actually came from Poland. And I got that off of Wikipedia, and you can see a tumbled polished piece that I have of it. It is such a beautiful stone. It's got this green and sort of apple green color to it. It is kind of, it can be translucent to opaque when it comes to transparency. There's no real fluorescence to it. You know, it's a hexagonal microcrystalline aggregate. You know, and for those who care about such things on the Mohs scale, it's between like a 6.5 and a 7 when it comes to hardness with no cleavage. And, you know, what is it really? Chrysoprase is, you know, a type of chalcedony, and it's naturally colored. And you know, what's really amazing is how brilliant the colors can be for a naturally colored stone, you know, that doesn't need to be heated, isn't dyed, any of that stuff. It offers some beautiful, beautiful colors. But the problem is that a lot of the chrysoprase that is sold out there has been actually dyed kind of a pale color, you know, or it's actually, I'm sorry, it's pale chalcedony that has been dyed to look brighter. So you want to make sure that you're getting it from, you know, someone that you can trust. You know, it's just like with a lot of our stones. You know, there are a lot of stones on the market sold as one thing that really are a different stone that has been dyed to look like that. That was something that was happening for years with turquoise and halite being dyed to look like it because it already sort of had the lines in it. And, you know, unfortunately, that is something that happens with chrysoprase as well, where they take a paler colored chalcedony and just make it brighter, brighter. So a lot of times, you know, if you look for the translucency, that can kind of give you a clue if you see a piece that really, you know, even though it can be translucent to opaque, if it looks too good to be true, it just may be. So you want to make sure you're getting what you're trying to get here. You know, the the thing that's interesting about it is there's a lot of things that are interesting about it. The name chrysoprase actually comes from the Greek Christos Prasos, which means golden green. And although it was known to the ancients, there are, just a few legends actually connected to it. You know, it's mentioned once in the Bible, actually, by John. The book of Revelations lists chrysoprase as the 10th foundation stone of the New Jerusalem. And Christian lore states that chrysoprase is the stone of St. Thaddeus. And that's based on the writings of the 10th century Bishop of Caesarea, Andreas. One of the earliest writers to associate the foundation stones of Revelation with the 12 apostles, Andreas, writes that chrysoprase, more brightly tinged with golden hue than gold itself, symbolizes St. Thaddeus, the gold symbolizing the king of the kingdom of Christ, that's where the Christos comes from, and the praesius, or praise, Christ's death, both of which St. Thaddeus preached to Abgar, the king of Edessa. So that's the biblical reference to it. And we also have Albertus Magnus related a story that Alexander the Great wore chrysoprase in his girdle when he led his men into battle. And it states that on one occasion while he was bathing in the Euphrates, he laid the girdle aside and a serpent bit off the stone and dropped it in the river. And, even Albertus Magnus, who actually was known for his acceptance of some of the wildest legends out there, kind of even said that, perhaps this one's a fable because it kind of is a bit extreme. But there's some really interesting ideas connected to chrysoprase. There was an old lapidary from the 14th century that, stated that it came from India and it has a green color mixed like leek juice. And that's something I've never seen, leek juice. I've seen leeks, but I guess I've never juiced one. And sometimes with golden drops. It's hard to find and gives graces to he who wears it, and it is good for the eyes. So there was already, I think that was maybe the beginning of this idea that chrysoprase is good for the eyes and for eyesight and for helping people with afflictions to the eyes. And then later, Camillus Leonardus went on to make the claim in his treatise on gems that its principal virtue is to cherish the sight, that it banishes covetousness. With the idea, if you covet what you see, right? So you're not supposed to covet your neighbor's goat or whatever. Chrysoprase was also said to make a condemned man invisible, and so that they were able to escape execution if they would only hold the stone in their mouth. So that's a pretty wild claim. I'm not sure where that came from, and I don't know if I have any listeners that, might find that helpful. You never know. If you are sitting on death row and listening to this show, you might ask someone to sneak you in a piece of chrysoprase. It's often actually a stone that's misidentified. It's interesting. The stone was brought to Europe during the Crusades under the claim that it was emerald. And cups of green glass and chrysoprase reside in various churches and cathedrals. Each one has been claimed at one time or another to be the Holy Grail. So it's kind of interesting. Oh, wait a minute, Jason Spillman, who hasn't bathed in the Euphrates? Exactly. You, me, Alexander the Great. No, I haven't. I don't know. Is the Euphrates clean enough to bathe in these days? Who knows? But if it is, I might. Anyways, I digress. The attributes of the stone have increased in modern lore from those early days, and it's said now to enhance mental abilities and give the wearer insight into self-honesty and personal problems. It is used to awaken the imagination and reveal the hidden talents of its owner. Chrysoprase is recommended medically to treat reproductive organs and increase fertility, and it is said to give vitality and strength by increasing the assimilation of vitamin C. And that's part of the reason. I mean, it's a great stone, but that's actually part of the reason that I chose it for this week's featured crystal. Because for some reason there's, and maybe this is something that goes in cycles, I'm not sure, but I've noticed a lot of people talking about vitamin C lately. Like a friend of mine had posted this article about why you should never buy store-bought orange juice, how it, you know, they squeeze all the oxygen out of it, they squeeze the water out of it, and then they fortify it with fake vitamin C, I guess ascorbic acid, and that's really bad for you health-wise, and I don't know, all this other stuff about vitamin C, about orange juice, about all of these things. And so I thought, well, okay, then I'll just, you know, I don't want to buy like a whole bag of oranges and spend forever juicing them just to get a glass of juice. And I guess I could buy one of those, you know, up-to-date juicers, the electric ones that, you know, make it a little bit easier. But I thought, well, okay, I'll just get my vitamin C from the fruits themselves. And that's what made me think of chrysoprase, because I remembered about it, you know, helping your body assimilate the vitamin C. So, you know, if you feel like, you know, you need, you know, some more vitamin C, you're not getting enough, you know, chrysoprase might be great to, like, you know, have in your pocket or carry around in order to help your body assimilate the vitamin C that you are getting. Now, I also found some interesting things about chrysoprase in Melody's Love is in the Earth. You know, she talks about it being useful for balancing the yin-yang energy and for aligning the chakras with the ethereal plane, that it activates, opens, and energizes the heart chakra. Remember, it's got that green color, and it helps to bring the energy necessary to the physical body through the loving energy of the heart. That it can also instill a state of grace within the user, facilitating deep meditative states, compassion, and clemency. Maybe that idea of clemency actually connects to that earlier myth that came from this, you know, connected to that idea of making a condemned person invisible so they can escape execution. She says it also provides for non-judgmental attitudes, acceptance of others, and acceptance of yourself, and that it can help one to recognize the Trinity within oneself, assisting one in extricating oneself from states of imperfection. So I thought that that was an interesting turn of phrase there, to recognize Trinity within oneself. I mean, to me, the idea of Trinity relates to that idea of Christianity, the Trinity that comes from there, and of course that involves Christ, which the stone, you know, the name, you know, is connected to Christ, Christos. So that's kind of interesting how all of these things kind of, you know, continue. Kind of the ideas continue over time and develop. She says it also can encourage the maximum beneficial outcome to situations and can facilitate adaptability and can help heal a broken heart, enabling one to understand patterns of growth in their life. And, you know, she says it has been used in treatment of disorders of the heart, and again to assimilate the vitamin C and to increase one's dexterity, to ameliorate frailty and infirmity, and also used to treat the reproductive organs and to stimulate an increase in fertility when consciously directed. Which, again, you know, consciously directed, that's that idea of working with what? With intention. So those are just some of, you know, the kind of historical aspects, you know, of it, as well as Melody's idea. You know, it's not that hard. It's actually pretty common. It's not that hard to find. It's a pretty common stone that you can find. It comes from the United States. It's been found in Russia, Brazil, Australia, Poland, and Tanzania. And, you know, Judy Hall actually, you know, had some interesting kind of different things that she associated with chrysoprase. She says that it imparts a sense of being a part of the divine whole, and it can induce, of course, deep meditative states, and it was said by the ancients to promote love of truth. And it also promotes hope and gives personal insights, stimulates creativity, encourages fidelity in business and personal relations, and not only energizes the heart chakra, but also the sacral chakra as well, because it does have, you know, some bits of yellow and even brownish colors in it that it can have. You know, she says psychologically, it's non-egotistical and can create an openness to new situations. It assists in looking at egotistical motives in the past and the effect they have had on your development, and it aligns your ideas with your behavior. So it can help with overcoming compulsive or impulsive thoughts and actions, can turn your attention to positive events. And that mentally, chrysoprase stimulates fluent speech and mental dexterity. So not only the dexterity, you know, say with the fingers, you know, and on the other physical levels, but also mental dexterity as well. And I love this. She says it can prevent you from speaking out unthinkingly in anger. And that it can lift oppression and recurrent images, preventing nightmares, especially in children. And emotionally, it can bring a sense of security and trust, useful in healing codependence and supporting independence, and yet encouraging commitment. So when you think of that, that's a heck of a trinity right there. The idea of healing codependence while supporting independence and yet encouraging commitment. So often, you know, when people are dealing with codependent issues, I mean, it really is about all three. How do you be in a relationship without being codependent? How do you still maintain your independence and yet still maintain a commitment? Chrysoprase kind of is a great stone, actually, for people that, you know, are having issues with codependence, it looks like. And, you know, it's also said to have a strong detoxifying action, that it can mobilize heavy metals out of the body and stimulate liver function, which is really kind of interesting. And, you know, other healing aspects. And, of course, you know, anytime we talk about using crystals for healing, you know, it's always good to remember that, you know, but let's use them as a complement to getting the proper diagnosis from a licensed medical professional if we think we have a serious medical problem. Just saying. Throwing that out there. Throwing out my disclaimer. Oh, I love this. Jason Stillman said he just read that Romanian folklore claims chrysoprase enabled its owner to understand the language of lizards. Wow. You know, I should try that, because, you know, I don't know about you guys. We've had a lot of rain here, and we have all these little, it's getting all reptilian around here. We've got all these little lizards that, you know, really fast and run through the garage and surprise me. We've got frogs just, you know, poking their head in doorways. I mean, it's just, I guess they're not lizards, so they're amphibians. I don't know. But at least maybe I could use this for the lizards. Yeah, it is weird. but, you know, other things that it can be helpful for when it comes to healing, you know, it's supposed to be excellent for relaxation and peaceful sleep. So, again, that idea of it, you know, helping ward off nightmares. And that it can, you know, not only, you know, with this, she talks about that sacral chakra connection, Judy Hall did in her Crystal Bible, but, you know, and it goes on to say not only enhancing fertility, reversing infertility caused by infection, but guards against sexually transmitted diseases. And, you know, it's an interesting thing, right? You know, so I, you know, here's the deal, right? You know, if you are, you know, getting in the mix with someone, you don't really know where they've been with or whatever, you know, Chris of Praise would be great to have around. But my God, you know, also wear a condom, okay? You know, let me just put that out there. Don't just, you know, think a crystal is going to save you, you know, because I just, you know, I am not saying it doesn't. Or can't ward off sexually, you know, or guard against sexually transmitted diseases. But do you want to take the chance? You know, I mean, use it in complement to you know, having, you know, either you or your partner wear a condom. So just your public service announcement message on that when it comes to STDs. Boy, we're going in strange directions today on this show. But yeah, you know, and that kind of, you know, that's the reason I do that disclaimer about health stuff all the time. Like, I know my listeners are really pretty, pretty smart. I love that Jason just touched the crystal and then yourself. You know, I know that everybody listening is probably really smart and they know, like, yeah, okay, I'm not going to just depend on a crystal to protect me against something like an STD or to use that if I have, you know, liver dysfunction. But, you know, there's the possibility out there that some people aren't going to, you know, I guess somehow, or think, you know, that, you know, they might want to take an extra precaution. So that, you know, that's part of the reason why, because obviously, you know, there, we have stones that we talk about on this show that are said to have cured cancer. And I've had guests on the show who, you know, have gone through cancer scares and said, you know, it was the crystals that got rid of it or the crystals that helped me through it, you know, and I believe them and they believe what they're saying. But at the same time, you know, don't take a chance. What's the point of that? You know, use it to speed up the healing, enhance the healing, promote your health instead of relying solely on it. And, you know, that's just something I feel I need to say. Now, the interesting thing about this idea that we talked about earlier with it helping the body to absorb vitamin C is that, you know, a lot of sources you'll see out there, you know, talk about it saying it can help the body absorb vitamin C. And that's really, you know, kind of the reason why I chose it this week, because of all this vitamin C talk out there. The thing I found kind of interesting about what Judy Hall had to say about it is she says that it increases the absorption of vitamin C, and also that, you know, you can make an elixir with it to calm stomach problems, you know. So there's all these kind of interesting things connected to, you know, absorption and digestion and all these things, you know, with how it works with the body. The Chris of Praise also said heal on the inner child, releasing emotions locked in since childhood, and that it can reduce claustrophobia as well. And, you know, the thing that's kind of interesting is that, you know, it's one of the stones that you want to place where it's appropriate. Like, if you're going to use it for healing in particular, if you're using it for mental or emotional healing, you know, you can either hold it or you can place it in a certain place. You could place it on the heart chakra. That would be a great place to put it for emotional healing. If you're working with things connected with, you know, sexual dysfunction or fertility, you know, the sacral chakra area would be great. And you can also, you know, just put it on a certain place if any of these ailments or something. You can put a little, you know, flat tumbled piece on your eyelid if you wanted to work with your vision with it, you know. It's one of those stones that, you know, is pretty much, you know, kind of, you know, easy to kind of move around. It's easy to find, you know, little pieces of it that would be great for, you know, using for body placements. So, I happen to think that, you know, it's a good one to have in your basic collection of stones. It's really not that hard to find really inexpensive pieces of it. I like the smaller pieces because I think a lot of times they're more versatile. So I just have a couple small pieces of it. And I got mine, I'm trying to think of where I got them. I got them online actually from Exquisite Gems. I think that's the name of it. Let me see. Exquisite Gems. Oh my God, how do you spell exquisite? Exquisite Gems. Oh, I'm sorry. Wait, is it Exquisite Gems or is it? Oh, it's exquisitecrystals.com. Let me put that in the chat room because we got, you know, a few like really inexpensive, nice, small pieces. And there's somebody that I do trust as an online retailer of crystals. ExquisiteCrystals.com. There we go. And I know Judy Hall actually does a lot with them as well, so that's always a good sign, too, that it's somebody that you can, you know, rely on. That what they're giving you is what it says it is. All right. So that is pretty much it for today's show. I hope you all enjoyed it, got something out of it. I hope you all let me know if you create your crystal grid. It would be fun to hear from you. Hope you will all tune in for next week's show. Same bat time, same bat channel. That'll be Thursday, 4 p.m. Eastern time. And if you missed any of the episodes recently, especially that one that we did with Judy Hall last week, because we did it at a different time because of she's in London, and I had to kind of switch the time around. But that is now in archive, and you can find it in the radio archive on theresarockforthat.com. And next week is going to be another fun episode. And I don't have my notes with me. I don't remember what we're talking about, but it will be fascinating. And don't forget to tune in on Sunday night to Positive Perspectives with Melinda Carver here on Blog Talk Radio. That is Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern. That's going to be a live call-in show, and we're going to talk all about crystals, tarot, and angels, and who knows what else. When me and Melinda get started, who knows where the conversation will go. I guess we'll find out, or at least you'll have to tune in to find out. In the meantime, I hope everybody has a totally awesome and fun and happy week. And I will see you all here next week. Bye-bye, everybody.